What is going on? Thank you for tuning in to the MMA podcast. Beautiful autumn evening. It is October 19, 2016. As always, a bunch to break down. UFC 204 was a couple weeks ago, but we haven't had P Money on to talk the main event. So we might talk a little Bisping Hendo. We might talk about GSP. Is he going to fight in the UFC or leave? Both sides are saying different things. Ronda Rousey, of course, coming back at UFC 207 to fight Amanda Nunes. Going to speak about that. And Conor McGregor, what's the future for him? He's going to fight Eddie Alvarez at UFC 205. Is he going to keep fighting? Is he going to fight in 2017? He's talking about taking a year off to have a kid. Of course, a bunch of fight announcements. We're back. Let's do it. Sick.
Listening to the MMA podcast.
That's right, Lenny Hart. It is the MMA podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at the MMA podcast. We have a website. I bet you can't guess what it is. It's themmapodcast.com. Very simple. Thank you for tuning in. Like I said, a little bit to talk about. You know, I thought it might be a dull week with no big UFC cards last weekend or next weekend. But of course, MMA, it's a year-round sport and there's stuff to talk about every week, it seems. Gonna touch on all of that. And like I kind of shoehorned in at the end there, if I sound different, your boy's sick as hell. I've been, missing school, missing work, missing class, got a sinus infection or something, throat's messed up. Not doing this live, not taking calls because, you know, it's a slow news week and I kind of want to save my, voice because it's, cracking and feeling pretty terrible. But you know what? We're gonna brave the storm and, do it because, that's how the fucking thing works. And I'm joined, of course, by Sweet Pappy Jones on Twitter. It's P Money. What up, man?
Yeah, Big Jake. Oh, man. It really is a lovely fall day out here in Southern California as well. So bummed you're under the weather, but God bless you and your intestinal fortitude. Here we are, ready to carry on the show, doing it for the people, breaking down, as you mentioned, a little lackluster, not a whole lot going on, no event this past weekend, nothing for the next couple weekends, at least in the way of UFC action, but still a little bit to talk about, and always a pleasure just to get on and jump in, shoot the shit with you, Jake.
Yeah, it's a weird break. You know, we're supposed to have 9 weekends in a row of fights, culminating with UFC Manila, but apparently the president of Manila is passing some pretty strict laws over there. They were talking about drug testing, not just the fighters, but all the UFC employees. They have very strict anti-drug laws. So for that, I think amongst some other reasons, they canceled UFC Manila. BJ Penn and Ricardo Lamas, that fight is put on hold. Even though now I'm hearing about different opponents for Penn, I'm not sure. But it's weird. We went from having a UFC every weekend for a couple months, and now I think we have like a 3-week break. I believe there will be a fight November 5th. It'll be that tough finale. I can double check here. But, having 3 weeks in a row off is, a weird thing, but you know what? It makes you appreciate the smaller orgs. You know, did you watch Legacy 61? Mackenzie Dern locking in a super impressive sub there.
Oh, streaming live on a UFC Fight Pass? Oh, no, yeah. I didn't catch that actually. I do have UFC Fight Pass. But no, I did not get a chance to check that one out. May have to go ahead and throw that one on. I this is the MMA podcast. Damn it, if I'm being honest, I've been caught up with just all sorts of goings on and everything like that. But no, I'll have to throw that out. I mean, especially with this extended break, first thing I'm going to do is make good use of my UFC Fight Pass subscription.
Yeah, and I think in a couple days we got Bellator 162. Not Bellator's biggest stacked cards, but a few names that I'm definitely going to be tuning in to watch. Kevin Ferguson Jr., Kimbo Slice's son. He's making his pro debut. Who else is on there? Julia Budd. Ryan Couture against Goity Yamaguchi. You got Bobby Lashley fighting against Josh Appelt, and in the main event, Alexander Slomenko versus Kendall Grove. So they should be some good fights there if you're feeling like some fights. And like I said, I think that's going to be Friday. Yeah, Friday the 21st. Go over and see it at the FedEx Forum if you're anywhere near Memphis, Tennessee, Bellator 162. I'm sure it'll be on Spike. Yeah, at 9, 8 Central. Any thoughts on that card before we get to news and all that?
Yeah, actually, not too bad of a Bellator card there. Some decent names. I mean, you've got some up and coming progeny there with Ryan Couture and Kimbo Jr. Kendall Grove. He's got some name recognition. He's been around at the top level of the sport for a while now. I'm sure they're gonna have the prelims on Spike TV or Spike.com, I want to say. So, yeah, should be a good little substitute in lieu of UFC action this weekend.
Yeah, and speaking of Bellator, I did want to briefly bring up Bellator. I think it's going to be, Bellator 170-something. It's going to be January 21st. In Inglewood at the Forum, Chael Sonnen versus Tito Ortiz is going to be the main event. A fight that we actually never saw in the UFC or any other organizations. And the shit-talking should be fun. Chael Sonnen's first fight since UFC 167 back in 2013. I'm going to take a hard drink of water here. What are your thoughts on Sonnen versus Tito, Pat?
Well, that should be a solid scrap. I mean, it's one of those fights, kind of like what we saw with Josh Barnett versus Andre Arlovsky. You know, two guys who had been around for so long, and you know they just never had a chance to fight each other. So it'll be cool to finally see that come to fruition, especially you know Chael Sonnen coming. From a long hiatus due to the multiple drug test failures and subsequent suspension, and the refreshingly unrepentant ways that Chael Sonnen or the unrepentant stance that Chael Sonnen was taking. God bless him for that. It's going to be good to see him get back in the action. I'll tell you what, the old Forum in Inglewood, I may have to try and get on over there, maybe. See if we can con somebody into giving your boy Sweet Pappy Jones some press credentials for that motherfucker.
That's, hey Scott, I know if Scott, if you are listening to this, hit your boy up for a little press pass. He went to two glory events, and actually, I remember during the undercard of the Glory events, you were just getting a shitload of like retweets and all that, just because you were literally like the only one on Media Row, like talking about all of these fights. You know, you're always there from the first bell to the last one.
Try to be. Last to leave.
My fucking voice is starting to sound like a diesel engine. I apologize, people. You know, speaking of old guy fights, before we get to this week's news, last week I did it solo. What did you think of that Hendo Bisping fight? Did you feel as unsatisfied about, you know, I feel like you and I and most people were rooting to see Dan finally score that UFC title. He didn't. And I was actually watching it with my stepdad, who's a casual fan. And he was super pissed at the end because he's like, Henderson landed the only few punches that mattered. Look at their faces. Dan won that fight. And I tried to explain him the rules, and he got it. But it's just, you know, it's boxing rules. 10-9 is boxing rules. And, you know, they favor activity over damage. And, I mean, shit, if you're going to go boxing rules, maybe take a point for a knockdown. When Dan knocked him down in those first two rounds, say, all right, he won both of those rounds 10-9, but subtract a point for Bisping in both rounds for being knocked down. I don't think I would mind a knockdown point deduction. The rest of the card was fun, but yeah. Pat, what did you think of that fight and that card? And God bless the Brits, who I think local time at the very end of the card, I think it was like 5:30 a.m. over there, like they were fucking getting breakfast on the way home. Crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. It was a great event. I mean, gosh, I think there was only two fights that went the distance on that entire card, and the main event was one of them. It was a good fight. I mean, gosh, it had been years in the making. And, you know, you bring up a great point, Jake, that I had really been thinking about with this fight. And it was something I was thinking about the night that it happened. And it's one of those things where if you were to take any person off the street that didn't know dick about fighting, and, you know, I'm not saying that that is the case with your stepdad, but just saying if you took anybody, if you took a soccer mom off the street and showed her a picture of two guys, you know, Bisping and Henderson, and say, who do you think won this fight? After the fight is done, I could almost guarantee you every single person on earth would say Dan Henderson probably won that fight just because of the damage to the face. Now, that is not always an indicator. Some people cut easily. Some people, you know, are just more apt to bruising and superficial damages and, you know, could never have really been rocked. You know, grazing glove shots can cut more easily than anything. But watching this fight, it is true. Dan Henderson, he landed the hardest, most devastating shots. He is the one that dropped Michael Bisping repeatedly. Michael Bisping did land some good shots on Dan Henderson. He put some nice combos together. He certainly had the volume rounds 1 through 5. That is indisputable. However, he never dropped Dan Henderson, to my recollection. The point being, Dan Henderson clearly landed he was closer to finishing the fight than Michael Bisping. He had Bisping in danger multiple times. He also had the better of the grappling exchanges. So it's one of those ones where, yeah, Bisping won the sport aspect, if you will. But a lot of people will say Dan Henderson won the fight. I really have to go back and watch it again. And it's just an exercise in the subjectivity of mixed martial arts judging. I mean, it seems like almost, you know, it's a topic that comes up very often. There's always a controversial decision, it seems like, in MMA. It doesn't seem like there's been one in a while. And really, I don't think that this one was super controversial. I think at this point, pretty much everybody's on board and, you know, everybody knows the deal. But man, I don't know. It was, I would not have minded seeing Dan Henderson right off in the sunset with that UFC title. I mean, you had to expect, certainly, if it goes to a decision, that Bisping would get it in London in front of his home crowd. I mean, my goodness, we remember the Matt Hamill fight, but it was an entertaining match overall, and certainly a good exercise in MMA judging.
Indeed, and actually quick shout out before we get to this week's news. Shout out to the Cleveland Indians. All of their teams have been doing well. The Cavs won the title, and the Indians now World Series bound, taking it against the Blue Jays. And they'll play either Allen's Cubs Our P Money's Dodgers. Should be interesting. Let's get to this week. Really dominating the news was George St. Pierre. Early Monday morning, revealing that he's no longer with the UFC. His contract terminated. Later that night, the UFC said, no, it isn't. GSP's lawyers came back and said, yeah, you've been spinning your wheels too long and you haven't done anything with them. And there's a thing in the contract that says you can't do that. So it's now void and we can fight wherever we want. what do you think about GSP not being in the UFC? Which would you prefer more? I kind of want to see him stay in the UFC. But would you like to see him leave and fight other talent, you know, Bellator, Ben Askren over in 1FC? Who knows?
Well, it's an interesting prospect. I mean, GSP, we haven't seen GSP fight in an organization, not in the UFC, I want to say, since 2004, maybe. It's been a long time. I mean, the UFC has long been GSP's home. Regarding the inactivity, I mean, GSP hasn't fought since 2013, largely because GSP retired after he was gifted a decision against Johnny Hendricks. Some people may take umbrage with my opinion there, but be that as it may, his retirement is largely the case for his inactivity. I want to say, according to reports, it wasn't until the beginning of this year, like January 2016, that GSP was really talking seriously about getting back into the fight game with the UFC. So certainly that's a pretty good period of time. I mean, if he's looking to get back into it in January, here we are in October, you know, that's presumably upwards of 10 months where they haven't been able to at least, you know, get an announcement put together, get something signed, something like that. That does seem like it's been a long time. They do have contract issues that they're working with. You know, GSP had sponsors that he had deals with that, you know, he wouldn't be able to represent now that the UFC has this Reebok deal. So there's all kinds of conflicting issues there with his old contract versus the way things are currently going with the UFC. I mean, there's it seems like a lot of legal holdup in the air. I mean, it all depends on the specifics and the language of his contract. I mean, I would be very shocked if he actually does get a release from the UFC, or if he does get released, if he doesn't get re-signed with the UFC. There would just have to be something they could do there. But who knows? You know, Rory McDonald, he just signed with Bellator. Maybe Rory Mack is whispering sweet nothings of Viacom money into GSP's ear, and maybe it's sounding pretty good right now. Nothing would really shock me at this point. GSP was also kind of critical of the UFC before he went into retirement. Now they've been sold. As much as I would love to see GSP in the UFC and fighting the top competition, I mean, there's a possibility he could go elsewhere. I mean, I think ultimately he would end up re-signing with the UFC, though. I feel like he's pretty set financially. And this would just be more of a legacy type of deal.
Yeah, I sort of want to see him stay in the UFC. But if he does leave, let's see, GSP versus Askren, that would be awesome. Wow, I chugged a lot of water. My throat feels a lot better. God damn. And, you know, GSP, this is a evolving story, so I'm sure we'll be talking about it in a couple weeks when, you know, the next step happens in his return to fighting. I think we had a couple fight announcements. We have Mike Perry versus Alan Joban, UFC on Fox 22 in Sacramento in December. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate Mike Perry?
Oh, man, Mike Perry, pretty tremendously.
He's a great heel, dude. Yeah. He's a great heel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's... no, I'm just kidding. I don't hate the guy. I don't hate the guy. But, no, great heel, absolutely. Man, whew. D-bag.
Total douche. But, man, he plays the character so well, and he doesn't even realize it, I don't think. But, I'll be happy either way, man.
Oh, he must realize it.
There will be even more hype behind Perry if he wins, and if he loses, it'll probably be by a Joe Ban finish, and that would also be very satisfying. What else do we have going on? Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey coming back, UFC 207. What did you think about that? And I think that's actually going to be our last topic of the evening, unless you got anything else for us. Rousey Nunez, I think Rousey takes her title back. I mean, she's the best female fighter of all time. And, I don't know, as much of a range of places she could be mentally, her judo game is on point, and she's just going to grab Amanda, throw her down an armbar within a minute.
Oh my goodness. Big Jake predicting Ronda returning back to form.
Honestly, I don't even think that's that bold of a statement, because she's been so dominant before. Like, I think it, you know, I won't be shocked at all if she just slams her on the mat and subs her within 30 or 40 seconds.
You know, I honestly would not either. I'm favoring Ronda Rousey going into this match, as I'm sure most of the human population is. But, man, Amanda Nunes, she really looked good. And I'll tell you what, as devastating as Ronda Rousey, she thoroughly beat up Miesha Tate. I mean, she thoroughly beat Miesha Tate twice, especially in the third one. In the second fight. The second fight was just an extended three-round version of an ass-whooping. But Amanda Nunes just TKO'd her in the first round. She beat Miesha Tate down in a completely different fashion. She's really, really looked good lately. I mean, she's the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion as it stands right now. And Ronda Rousey she has not fought in some time since a devastating, one of the biggest, most public knockouts that any fighter has ever had to endure. So this is going to be very interesting. We've seen fighters come back from knockouts and just completely change their strategy and fight safe and just fight different. If that's the case with Ronda, which somehow I don't think it will, I think she's going to come out just pissed as ever. But there's a possibility. There's a possibility for a change there, and if there is, that could be a whole different game. I mean, Amanda Nunes, she is a tough chick. I think the only way you're going to beat her, you have to match her intensity. And you have to get her to drain and, potentially get it into deep waters if you can't get the early finish. I'm favoring Rousey in this fight, but man, I'm really curious to see how she comes back, Jake. It's been a while.
Yeah. Ronda -185. On Five Dimes. Actually, one more topic I forgot. Hendricks versus Magny, slated for 207. Who you got in that one? It's an interesting matchup. Both have shown maybe some needs improvement on their striking defense. I don't know. This is going to be an interesting fight. I guess I'll pick Magny, but it's close. You know, Johnny's, I don't like the trajectory he's currently on.
Oh, yeah, I certainly agree with you on that one, Jake. You know, I'm a big momentum guy, and yeah, our boy Johnny Hendricks has not had the best go of it as of late. I mean, you take a look at his record, he's been very up and down. I know you and I beat that drum all the time of, you know, losses on his record that shouldn't be losses. But then again, there's wins on his record that potentially should be losses as well. And, you know, the loss to Wonderboy, a lot of us, you and I especially, didn't see that coming. I certainly did not see the loss to Gastelum coming. Gastelum outclassed him in every sense of the word there. This is going to be an interesting fight. Neil Magny, he is coming off a rough TKO loss to Lorenz Larkin, but that was just a tough matchup for Magny. But one that this could be very similar, because part of the thing with that was just that Neil Magny is such a big fighter for his weight class. He's so tall and he has so much reach. He uses that very well. There's only a few people that we've seen so far, very elite level fighters, that have been able to exploit that. Damian Maia, for example, he's been able to keep everybody at his length for the most part. As you mentioned, though, there have been times he's been caught with shots, but he has rallied. But with Lorenz, just so short, compact, and such a proficient striker. Lorenz is a very technical striker, and he was able to capitalize on Neil Magny and actually use that height disadvantage to an advantage, and able to get to Magny very quickly. The defense was not tip-top, and he paid very quickly for that. However, Johnny Hendricks, I would dare say, is not the caliber of striker that Lorenz Larkin is. If you want to talk about straight-up, stand-up kickboxing match, I'm taking Lorenz Larkin over Johnny Hendricks, absolutely. Johnny Hendricks has some missiles in his hands. He's got great strikes. He's really tuned it up over the years, too. You know, came from that NCAA D1 background, strong wrestling, and, you know, heavy hands, but since his tenure in the UFC and his time as a champion, he has refined it to a level, but still not the elite level striker that, you know, Lorenz Larkin may be, but he does have that more well-rounded game. He's got, again, those wrestling credentials. That's going to be an issue for Magny to contend with. Of course, you know, this is a tough fight. I think I'm going to have to go with Johnny in this one, though. I really feel that as good as Magny is, there's those top guys that he has struggled with. And if nothing else, Johnny Hendricks has that wrestling background. I think he could, you know, exploit that, get a safe win if necessary, if not get a stoppage finish.
And I think that does it for the show. A quick show. My throat's already getting a little cackly. Crackly. We appreciate the listens. As always, Twitter, the MMA Podcast, themmapodcast.com. Pat, you got anything for him?
Well, Jake, it's always a pleasure. You know, we appreciate the fans tuning in for these abbreviated versions. And, you know, hopefully we can keep bringing some life to the MMA discussion while there's a little break in some of the action here, at least with the UFC, and keep the audience caught up with all the smaller organization goings on and all the news as always.
You know, we're only maybe 2 months and change from the end of the year, but this is going to be a fast and furious schedule for the UFC coming up. You got looking ahead at these fights, you got November 5th, that tough Latin America finale that's headlined by Rafael Dos Anjos and Tony Ferguson. That's going to be a hell of a fight. And then, of course, the next week, November 12th, UFC 205. How stacked is this card? Alvarez, Connor, Woodley, Wonderboy, Joanna versus Kowalkiewicz, Weidman, Romero, Gastelum, Cerrone, Tate Pennington, Edgar Stevens, like Nurmagomedov, Johnson, Evans, Kennedy. This fight is stacked as hell down to the very bottom. Then the next weekend, there's two cards on the same day. The first one in Belfast, Northern Ireland, Dong Young Kim against Gunnar Nelson. And then that night, Bader versus Little Nog 2. The next week, we have that Rockhold Jacare 2 card. in Brazil. I think there's, Robert Whittaker, Derek Brunson's going to be on that as well. The next night, or the next week, the Tough 24 finale with Mighty Mouse defending the belt against the winner of Tough. Next week, Derek Lewis. The next week, UFC 206, Cormier Johnson. The next week, Van Zandt versus Waterson. The next week, Ronda Rousey returns. And we see Kane versus Verdum. I mean, dude, this is gonna be, I mean, I know I sound like a UFC marketing machine shill right now, but the next 2 months are gonna be fucking insane.
Oh, hell yeah, dude, I cannot wait. That's gonna be a stacked lineup. They always really pour it on towards the end of the year. It's going to be something excellent, something nice to look forward to just about every weekend here to close out 2016.
Hell yeah, we appreciate y'all listening. Until next week, we go.
Tune into the MMA podcast every Tuesday night.
My God, y'all.
Stop the wild style, always been a foul child.
Will I, sucker? I'll be the coming yeah. Like Noah.
The MMA podcast, Jake is the host. And since Ramsey's been in the wheelchair, the Aunt Jimmy show has been on the road. I want to say John Jones is a host, so I think that I'll pick up the...